Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting next to the one and only Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And, Wes, we are another day closer to Packers-Ravens, Sunday noon Central Time kickoff at Lambeau Field. And I know we talk a lot about, you know, the rushing defense and the passing offense and these more collective things, but we all know that football is fundamentally a one-on-one game. And when you look at some of the one-on-one matchups in this game coming up, it's hard to not focus on David Bakhtiari at left tackle against Terrell Suggs, the 15-year veteran and six-time Pro Bowl pass rusher for the Baltimore Ravens. This is going to be a fun battle to watch.
It is. And you know, to be honest with you, Mike, it's so interesting to watch these older pass rushers over the years, because we've seen Julius Peppers here the last number of years. You know, James Harrison was incredibly productive, you know, these past few seasons with the Steelers. And seeing how they adapt their game and how they change and evolve, so much of this game, as you mentioned, is one-on-one battles. It's also about evolution.
Yeah.
And figuring out what works at a certain age and maybe what you have to adjust to when you get older. Suggs is a great example of a guy that's just found a way to continually just revamp his game. And that matchup, it's interesting, as you, I think you talked to David Bakhtiari about, going from 2013, where these two see each other,
yep,
in Baltimore, Bakhtiari as a rookie, a really solid rookie, but still a rookie,
yeah,
and Suggs then at that point 31 years old, and you fast forward to now, Bakhtiari, an all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber left tackle, Suggs, obviously with the resume he's put together in Baltimore. For fans, I know it's really easy, and you want to track the football on game days, but if you can just deviate your eyes a little bit, I think that would be a really interesting matchup for fans to watch.
Yeah, it was interesting talking to Bakhtiari about that matchup in 2013. He's a rookie. He's playing in his fifth career game at that point. He's lined up across from Suggs, who's a five-time Pro Bowler. That season actually was the sixth time that Suggs ended up going to a Pro Bowl. He's now got 120 career sacks. And I asked Bakhtiari, what did you remember the most? What stood out to you the most about the matchup? And he just said, the guy threw the book at me. And then he proceeded to rattle off about a dozen different types of pass rush moves that Suggs threw at him in that game. Some that I didn't even know existed. Like, this is the part of football that I don't really understand all that well. But all these things that he threw at Bakhtiari, and then Bakhtiari also said, and then he was playing some mind games too. And I'm like, so there's mind games on top of this as well? And he says, yeah, you know, he knows what's on film. And so then he lines up a certain way so that you think based on film study, he's going to do this.
Right.
And then he does something else. And that's what, you know, veteran savviness is all about. And that's what Terrell Suggs brings to the table for the Baltimore defense. Interestingly, looking back just statistically at the 2013 game, Bakhtiari didn't give up a sack to Suggs. Suggs was credited with, you know, a half dozen solo tackles and I think 10 tackles altogether, including assists and whatnot. But no sacks for him, which is a credit to a rookie at that time going up against a multi-Pro Bowler. But now it's the rematch. Bakhtiari has been to a Pro Bowl. Suggs is obviously on the tail end of his career, being in the league for 15 years. But Bakhtiari even said, hey, this guy very well could end up in Canton someday. He really is that good. And it's a treat to see a player like this come into Lambeau Field, because these guys from the AFC aren't here very often.
No, exactly. And I mean, yeah, for Suggs, I mean, that would be what, his first time at Lambeau since 2009, I think it would
right.
be.
Yes,
so,
that's
yeah,
correct.
It's interesting to see that side of it. One of the stories I really liked, NFL.com did, I believe it was Kevin Patrick, really interesting. I just love the headline on it was, why Terrell Suggs has the Benjamin Button disease. Where, and I don't know how familiar you are with that movie, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, but just how, you know, he basically is getting younger throughout the course of this deal. And that's what it comes down to. We saw when Julius Peppers was here in Green Bay, that was an eye-opening experience for me. You've seen more pass rushers than I have over the years, but seeing a guy who signed with the Packers when he was 34 still find ways to beat these young tackles.
And, yeah,
you know, guys that are in some cases were 10, 11 years younger than him. That's what those pass rushers can do. And yeah, when you look at Suggs, 120 career sacks, very quietly has just put together an amazing career and very consistent throughout it. His most sack season was in 2011 with 14. He came back in 2011. 2014, then he has 12. I think it ended up being four or five 10-plus sack seasons.
Yeah.
That kind of consistency, and on top of that durability, is what has put him in this position now to have played in all these games and be able to make the contributions that he has for that Baltimore Ravens defense.
Yeah, and what's he have this year? Is it 5.5?
5.5.
So far this year. Yep. So, I mean, roughly the midway point of the season, so a chance for another double-digit sack season from Terrell Suggs here in his 15th year. Obviously, we hope that he doesn't have one of those big days coming up here at Lambeau Field. But Bakhtiari will have something to say about that. And one of those things, David was careful with his words a little bit because he didn't want to say that he really enjoys these kinds of matchups because they're really, really tough. But the competitor in these guys,
absolutely.
They really do relish going up against the best because then you find out really how good you are. And Bakhtiari knows that this is one of those kind of matchups.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too, Mike, to kind of pile on top of that is the fact that David Bakhtiari, I think, is back to being David Bakhtiari.
I agree. Yeah.
You were the first one to point that out. I know when you and I were having some of our discussions, just being able to put that hamstring injury behind him, getting healthy again, not having a relapse with it, and just being able to get back to playing the way he's accustomed to playing, that's so big for Brett Hundley, and it's really key for that offensive line to get that cohesiveness back with Bakhtiari at left tackle and Lane Taylor now after shaking off that ankle injury at left guard.
Yeah, the Bakhtiari got back into action right before the bye week, and then the bye week was just that extra stretch of rest that he needed, and he really is back to full strength now. But with that, we'll go to break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz there. And Wes, at Wednesday's practice, the first practice of the preparation week here, heading into the Baltimore Ravens game, an attractive sight off to the side of where the bulk of the practice action was going on, and that was Aaron Rodgers doing a little rehab with one of the team's athletic trainers. Now, nothing too crazy. He's not throwing 50-yard bombs or anything like that. But he's, working on the cardio and some of the stretching and different things to try to start working his way back here. And we didn't hear from Rodgers. He didn't speak to the media at all. But by all accounts, the process is underway, and now we'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah, you were the one that covered practice for us on Wednesday, and it was kind of funny when you came back and we talked about that. Basically, the only reason we even got to see anything is because of the rain in Green Bay. Push practice inside the Don Hutson Center. The Packers, for those who don't know, when players are going through their rehab assignments, they have all that stuff in there. That's a lot of times where a lot of that stuff is conducted.
Yeah.
So he was going through with the trainers and everything. So it was sort of a little bit of a sideshow to everything else that was going on. But for, media, I know especially for fans, very interesting for them to see. And if you go back to 2013, it kind of falls on the same timeline. Now, mind you, Rodgers didn't have surgery then,
right. But
it was about to that 3 to 4 week mark where he started kind of being able to practice a little bit more. Practice is the wrong word for it, but just rehab a little bit more,
yeah,
and start finding ways to start working himself back into the field. I know Clay Matthews was asked about it in the locker room afterwards, and he said this a couple times now. If you didn't know any better, you would think Rodgers is good to go.
Right.
Now, mind you, there's a lot of stuff going on there. There's still no timetable, but I think, a lot of people were asked about this, and it's true. I think there's just an uptick in his, he just seems to be just a little bit, I don't want to say happier, but there's just a little bit more joy you can see, and I think, really understanding what he's trying to accomplish and tackling that and ultimately trying to figure out if he's going to play again this season.
Yeah, it's just funny how this business works because the biggest news out of Green Bay as they're preparing for this Baltimore Ravens game is something that the media only found out about because practice was not outside
right. On
Clark Hinkle Field. If it had been on Hinkle Field where it usually is, nobody would have known that Aaron Rodgers was behind that wall in the Hudson Center doing all of this stuff that nobody could have taken a picture of. Nobody would have gotten it on video.
Yeah.
But as it turned out, practice was inside, so everybody got to see it. It obviously made the rounds on social media. It's in all the local news reports and national news reports that Aaron Rodgers is back on his feet and moving around. Not that he was laying in a hospital bed for the last month. But yeah, now we just have to see what happens. We know the earliest Aaron Rodgers can come back to play in a game is for the Carolina game
right.
in Week 15. 2 weeks before that, he would be eligible to return to practice if he's medically cleared to practice based on the IR rules, the 6 weeks of no practice and 8 weeks of no games. So we're still a couple of weeks away from where he might actually work his way back into practice here and there, like he did in 2013, which he did for a couple of weeks before he was then cleared to play in the Chicago game. But you're right, Wes. There's a little bit of extra bounce in his step, and I think it just it puts a little bit of a more of a smile on everybody's face just to see that Rodgers is around and he's going to do whatever it takes to come back. There's part of this that's out of his control, obviously, with a broken bone, but and the team gets a win last Sunday. You know, looking to hopefully get to 6-4 this week. So you know, just a lot of optimism really around 1265.
You're absolutely right, Mike, and I don't want to keep turning this conversation back 4 years every single time I try to make a point, but it does in some ways remind me of 13. You got to remember, right around that Thanksgiving mark was when Rodgers returned to practice. Within that next week, they started being able to reel off some wins. You know, with the Atlanta victory and coming back in Dallas. Starting to string those positive performances together. I think Brett Hundley looks a lot more at ease right now with what's being asked of him. And as he was asked about, you know, he was asked about Rodgers being back at practice, but ultimately for him, his job is to keep the Packers in this playoff hunt, is to try to get as many victories together. And since day one, as I've been saying, the more wins they have, the better the chances are that Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to play again this year because it ensures that the season is going to continue. So right now, it's everything. The Packers, if you're looking at a blueprint from what they had from that game against the Bears to now transition over into this Ravens game and beyond, it comes down to everybody doing their job and understanding that the light at the end of the tunnel is number 12. And the only way to get there is to get some more victories.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Rodgers mentioned this when he spoke to the media after having the surgery on the collarbone. It's almost in a way a blessing in disguise that they put him on IR, which establishes a certain time frame because you know the kind of guy Rodgers is and what you see him doing. He's taking some snaps from the trainer. And like I said, he's not throwing any footballs yet. But you know that he's going to want to get out there before he's probably ready to.
Right.
The fact that he's on injured reserve and there are certain rules in place and whatnot, he mentally doesn't have to go through this, oh, I really want to play and I can't. He simply can't until Carolina at the earliest. So mentally, that's just where he is and what he can try to prepare for. He knows where his light is at the end of the tunnel.
And mentally, it allows the beat writers not to have to go through what they went through from the end of November until the end of December in 2013. So
absolutely.
Everybody, and especially too, I want to mention just from a team perspective, I think it also is good to establish that, you know what, Brett Hundley's our guy for at least another month here.
Absolutely.
Got to rally around him, have to build those performances, and have to really hope for the best that what they did against the Bears can be translated to these other games coming up.
Yeah, that's the task at hand for the Green Bay Packers. So back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkiewicz in that one. And Wes, when you look at this first half, this first nine games of the 2017 season for the Green Bay Packers, we've seen Aaron Jones get called upon as a rookie running back, and he delivered. We saw last week in Chicago, Jamal Williams gets called upon when the two guys in front of him go down. He delivers with 20 carries and a real workhorse effort in the second half of a victory at Soldier Field. With Aaron Jones out for multiple weeks, Ty Montgomery still dealing with his rib situation, a little bit uncertain there. Jamal Williams will be the number one guy, most likely, for the Baltimore Ravens. But then the number two guy behind him very well could be Devontae Mays, the seventh-round rookie out of Utah State. This is the one of the three draft picks we haven't seen yet, but history this season will tell us that if the bell rings for Devontae Mays, who knows what might happen?
Who knows? I mean, if you tried at the beginning of this 2017 NFL season, specifically this Packers season, to map out how these touches and how these yards and all this production was going to go, you would have had zero luck. I mean, Ty Montgomery ends up carrying the ball. I think it was, 85 or 90% of the time through the first month of the season.
Right.
He gets injured. Jamal Williams comes in the first time against Chicago. He goes down. Aaron Jones, who at one point wasn't even active in the regular season opener, well, then suddenly he wins two NFL Rookie of the Week awards for 200-yard performances within a three-week stretch. And then just as soon as you think things are getting settled out, Jones gets hurt. Montgomery comes in, plays well, gets hurt. Jamal Williams carries the ball 20 times in the second half. The point I'm trying to make here, Mike, with this long, drawn-out paragraph that I'm saying is that this is why the Packers made the moves they did in the offseason.
Yep.
They saw what happened in 2016, and it wasn't just in Green Bay. There's a lot of places in the NFL where teams are onto their third, number four running back. They tried to get ahead of it. They overloaded the position, and now Jamal Williams steps up. And there's Devontae Mays, a young man that is incredibly hungry. You know him probably better than anybody in terms of his story and where he comes from. And with his attitude, what he brings to the table, and just his size, he's different than the other three backs.
Yeah, that's
5'10", 230 pounds or whatever he's at. He is a bull bell cow back, and we'll see whether or not he gets to play offensively, but he certainly is looking forward to this opportunity.
Yeah, that's the one thing I was going to say is even though we haven't seen him in a regular season game on offense yet, he's only been active for a few games and only played on special teams to this point in the regular season games. But this kid is built differently than these other ones. He's 230 pounds. If there's a young running back with the build for cold weather Lambeau football, this kid is it. I mean, you know, 230 pounds cannot be easy to tackle, especially when the temperature starts to drop in 30, 25, 20 degrees. That's not going to feel so good. And I'm really interested to see, because I believe he's going to get some opportunities. I don't think Jamal Williams is going to play every single snap on Sunday, even if Ty Montgomery can't. I think he's going to get an opportunity, and I'm really curious. I know a lot of fans are really curious as to what he can bring to the table because you know as they like to say, he looks the part.
Right, and there's a lot of unknowns with this draft class. I think that's one of the reasons, in addition to Vince Beagle being from Wisconsin Rapids, a lot of people are interested to see him and Montrevious Adams, guys that haven't played much during the first half of the season. And if you look at every draft class the Packers have, there's always those guys, those rookies that play right from day one. Your Eddie Lacy's, you know, you look at your Corey Linsley's. But then there's that second group that can kind of come on in the second half of a season. And really, I think that a lot of times is the important push that teams will get is from those contributing rookies down the stretch when maybe other guys have fallen out. Again, he's a tempo setter. And I thought David Bakhtiari had a really interesting comment when he said, you know, he's a big back, but he's fast too.
Yeah.
People sometimes don't give him credit for that aspect of it. But I will be honest with you, going back to the preseason, in the top of my mind, the big play that stands out to me is still that one sideline grab he had. And as he was going towards the sideline, a defensive back, I can't remember which team they were playing, came in trying to tackle him. It didn't really turn out so hot for the defensive back.
Yeah, I mean, he absolutely absorbed the blow and stayed on his feet like nothing had even happened. But you said it, Wes. There's a reason the Packers drafted three running backs, and it's because of what happened in 2016 where – eventually, Mike McCarthy in some ways had to rewrite the entire offense midway through the season. With this type of stable of running backs and this type of depth at the position, you can withstand some injuries. Now, granted, with the change at quarterback, the Packers are emphasizing some different things offensively with Aaron Rodgers not in there. But it's not as though they had to tear a whole bunch of pages out of the playbook and rewrite them, because from a rushing offense standpoint, they can simply plug in the next guy and let's go because everybody has gotten the reps, and now Devontae May is getting more reps in practice for a potential opportunity. Someday.
And that was a big reason why the Packers were able to beat the Bears last weekend. Jamal Williams went in there. There was no change. They went with the same game plan. They walked out with a victory.
Yeah, no question about it. With that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, quickly before we go, it's Harbaugh weekend in the state of Wisconsin. Jim Harbaugh's Michigan Wolverines coming to Camp Randall Stadium to play the Badgers on Saturday in a big Big Ten matchup. And then John Harbaugh, the brother, bringing his Baltimore Ravens to Lambeau Field on Sunday. So it's up to these Wisconsin football teams to not make this a memorable Harbaugh weekend in the state of Wisconsin. A couple of big games. I think that one in Madison is going to be really entertaining.
Yeah, it was funny. John Harbaugh, in his conference call with the Green Bay media, the first question he was asked in a playful manner was whether or not he was going to bring out the Ravens a day early so they could catch the game at Camp Randall.
Maybe fly into Madison, go to the game, and then, you know, take a bus up to Green Bay from there. So
that being said, it is interesting how these things work out sometimes. I mean, I don't know what you could do as far as figuring out the probability of it, but I have to imagine that both of them ending up in Green Bay, or in Wisconsin, excuse me, the same weekend, the odds of that have to be highly unlikely,
especially
with the crossover between the division games with you know, the Packers' perspective, but then also really Wisconsin and Michigan coming from two different
areas. They don't even necessarily play each other every year, and it happens that Michigan is coming to Madison this weekend. So.
But yeah, I'll say this though. I mean, for the Badgers, this is a huge football game. I mean, this is this is what dreams are made of when you're trying to get in the college football playoff. You have to, you know, unseat Jim Harbaugh. Fortunately for them, they have this thing at Camp Randall. I think it'll be a really exciting game to watch.
Yeah, Wisconsin Badgers 10-0 for the first time in school history, looking ranked number 5 right now in the college football playoff rankings. So all indications are if they can beat Michigan, beat Minnesota, and beat presumably Ohio State, though that's not official yet, in the Big Ten championship game, that the Wisconsin Badgers could be playing for a national championship. But what I just said, those to rattle off those three more wins in a row after being 10-0, not an easy task.
Not an easy task. I mean, and obviously Jim Harbaugh is going to have different things on his mind. There's a lot to prove for Michigan right now with how that has kind of played out for them and the competitiveness on that side of the Big Ten this season.
Yeah.
They're still trying to, you know, get towards the top of this thing as well. So it'll be interesting to watch from that perspective. I think, to be honest with you, if you're a fan, you couldn't really ask for two better games to go back-to-back, and I think that Packer game against the Ravens is going to be highly competitive on Sunday, and I think it's going to be exciting to see how the Packers are able to defend that Ravens offense with some of the mistakes they made this season.
Yeah, and as we talked about at the top of the show, I'm really curious to see with this Ravens defense and Terrell Suggs, David Bakhtiari, that matchup. But this Ravens defense, the way they take the football away, the turnovers that they've generated, you know, this Packers offense needs to continue to protect the football the way it has with Brett Hundley at quarterback. Totally. So with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. You can find me at Mike Spofford at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.